For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show. It's me, Tim Fuel, back in the hot seat to talk with you about the best in non-league football and with the best in non-league football as well. Keeping me company this week by the power of the internet is show regular and stalwart, Mr. Dave Anderson. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. How's your week? And have you actually been taking in any football this week?
Well, yes. Listen, you picked the right week to ask, because actually I went to Harrow Borough versus Staines on Tuesday night. First time I've been to a game for a long time. And
it would be like a birthday party. There's so many people there that you know.
Yeah, it was. It was strange. It was obviously all the Harrow staff I know well, you know, and obviously Staines, Drax and Brownie, and their staff. So it was, it was good. And I have to say I enjoyed the game. And I felt a little bit for Steve Baker and the Harrow lads, because they're 1-0 up. They're in a bad run of games. I think they've lost maybe 5 or 6 in a spin in the league. 1-0 up, 80th minute, Staines equalise it. A tremendous cross. A cross of Premier League quality. I mean, it was that good, Tim, me or you would have scored the header, you know. 1-1, and then as it happens, and we've all been there as a football manager, when you're in a bad run, you know, you can nearly write the script of what's going to happen. And sure enough, in I think it was about the 94th minute, Staines scored the winner. So, my son was with me, Sam, and he said, "Wow, Dad, that was just shocking." And I said, "Yes, son, but the difference now is that me and you can go home and have a cup of tea." poor Steve and his staff have to go in the dressing room and try and pick up the pieces. And obviously Drax and Brownie and the Staines lads are celebrating, you know, because it's a massive win. And I would say this, Tim, if I was a betting man, and I'm rubbish at betting, and this is a kiss of death for them, and Drax will be on the phone slaughtering me about it, I fancy Staines to make the playoffs. I thought they looked big, strong. You know, the game, you know, they'd sort of first half not much in it. Second half, Harrow, I thought, deservedly went in front. But then you find out about what you've got then as a team, and they came back strong, Staines, and, you know, did they deserve to win? I'm not sure. But when you're in the run they're on, you win. And when you're in the run that Harrow are on, you just don't get anything out of the football match. But good fun and good to see. Actually got to see Peter Rogers as well, who... Mm-hmm. I was telling him, we mentioned on the show last week about the ground being named after his family. So yes, I have been to a show, Tim. Have you, or a show, to a game? Have you been to any?
No, I too much work on at the moment, so I've missed out Hayes and Yedney on a great run at the moment, so probably a good reason for me to stay away, really, because I don't want to be the one to make that difference and then get the blame, because we're in the playoffs at the moment and going well on many fronts. So it's all good, but I still get all the grief. You know, who'd be involved in football?
Well, exactly.
So this week we begin with the FA Trophy, the third qualifying round this weekend, with 44 new clubs from the National North and National South joining the competition as clubs battle in 40 ties for prize money of £5,000 for each winner, and a step nearer Wembley for non-league finals day on Sunday the 20th of May 2018. A big round in the competition with some big clubs and even more big ties. Perhaps none more so than Stockport County v Southport on Saturday afternoon. And I'm pleased to say that to help us preview that game is Communications Director John Kieran from Stockport. Good evening, John.
Hi, Tim.
Now, I say it's a big game, but how important is the trophy in the thinking at your club this season?
I mean, financially, you know, when we get down to the bare bones, it's a bonus. We don't budget for any progress in any of the cup competitions, so it's something that's a nice to have rather than essential. Stockport County have not got a great track record in the FA Trophy, in fairness. I don't think we've ever got past the last 32. So having been knocked out of the FA Cup already this season, clearly it takes on added importance and added significance, I think, this season. So, in the overall scheme of things, I think it'd be great for us to have a run to Potentially a Wembley final. I think there's only one of our players who've actually ever played at Wembley in the final. So it would be great for them, you know, for the lads themselves to get through to that stage.
Yeah, and you know, Southport, another big club, but also another big name manager in Kevin Davis. Have you already seen, you know, extra attention, media attention, because of the two sides competing against each other in this one?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously the fact that Southport they've put some investment in, haven't they? They've got a new board in place now, and Kevin Davies is obviously a significant figurehead for them. I think it adds a bit of spice to the game. I don't think it particularly needed it. I think it's a big cup tie anyway at this stage of the competition. But yeah, that's certainly been one or two extra scouts on the list, perhaps, than we might have expected.
Scouts for an FA Trophy game? It's all pay, surely, isn't it?
Should be, shouldn't it?
Now, November is already looks to be quite a good month for you. I had a look. It was a County Cup win, league win, two league draws. Does that suggest that the team's beginning to gel a bit better than they did at the start of the season?
Possibly. I mean, I think the overall view, and I think most fans would probably agree with that. I'm sure the manager agrees with it as well. We're underperforming at this stage of the season. I don't think we're delighted with the league position as it stands. But, you know, there are signs the team's starting to gel. You're right to point out it's not been a bad month in terms of points gained. It's four games unbeaten for us now. But looking at the bigger picture, you know, the target is clearly to be in those playoff places at the end of the campaign. But as the old saying goes, nobody ever won a title in November. So there's a long way to go just now. And traditionally, I think if you look back at Jim's record, you know, he's got a phenomenal track record in terms of his team's really picking up the pace after Christmas. And, you know, if he can achieve similar in this season, then there's no reason why we can't be knocking on the door again this time around.
Indeed, and you don't want too much extra pressure on your shoulders going into the Christmas calendar, but I think you've got one win just outside the playoffs. You're there or thereabouts, so maybe that last push in the new year would be quite a good thing. Now, you had a fans forum, I think, this time last week. I mean, how did that go? Is that one of the biggest challenges for a club like yourself, to sort of managing expectation of those fans and you've got a large support and supporters with big aspirations, but you are where you are, aren't you?
It's a really good point. And I mean, it's interesting that the board that's taken over, well, I mean, the group of us have only really been together 2 years now. So as a board, we've not really known anything different, but the difference is that we're all supporters, so we're all quite long in the tooth, and we've all seen the club. I mean, it was 20 years ago this week, and you know, we put three past Manchester City in the first half hour at Edgeley Park, and I can still remember that as if it was yesterday. So those memories of beating so-called bigger clubs are still very fresh in the minds of many of our supporters. So you've always got that challenge to and you can, you know, you can keep saying you are where you are, and you've got to accept it. But it's very difficult, I think, for a lot of our fans to accept. And I fully understand that, because I'm one of them. And I find it difficult to understand where we are today. And I think, as you know, I still do the match day commentaries for the football club. And it was drilled home to me when we had a game against North Ferriby. And I came out with a line that the ball had flown over the bar and gone into the allotments. And that was a reminder of, you know, where we are. That's where we are. That's where we've landed, and we've got to deal with it. But you're right, it is a case of managing expectations. And those expectations are understandably high. We've been at this level now for 5 years, and it's time we started to progress up.
You mentioned your commentary. I mean, nobody can deny your passion for the club, I don't think, John. You know, if people want to check it out, I think it's still on Stockport County's official YouTube. The clip of you commentating for Pure FM. I think you grabbed a late equaliser from the penalty spot against Guiseley back in March 2014.
Phil Evans.
Yeah, and you enjoyed that goal, didn't you? Yes.
I did. I mean, it's an equaliser against Guiseley to make it 3-3, but I don't know, it was just one of those moments. And what I didn't realise was the guys were secretly filming me from the back of the stand. So, it's gone viral, I think they say. But I don't mind. And people know that I love the club as much as anybody, and as much as our manager as well. You know, Jim Gannon's another staunch Stockport County fan. breathes Stockport County, lives sort of, you know, less than a mile from the ground, and you know, his passion is very transparent as well.
Mm. Now, we normally speak to managers, players, you know, sometimes chairman on the show, but it's nice to talk to somebody like yourself coming from a slightly different angle. You know, comms director is probably the most important club in a role in a football club nowadays. You, in the last, you know, you say the last 5 years, the way that the world of media has changed completely. Is it hard to stay on top of? Because I guess it's still only a voluntary role, isn't it, for you?
Certainly is, and it's interesting. Like, I mean, tonight I'm off to a do this evening for our club photographer. He's marking his I suppose his testimonial. He's been with us for 10 years, and what's interesting, I think, is I've been involved in the media side at the club now for 20 years myself, and I think what we've tried to do is, okay, as you said earlier, we are where we are in terms of our league position, but what I've tried to do is make sure that everything we produce, whether it's website material, press releases, videography, photography, everything that we do, I just want to make sure that it's as high a standard as it can be. And I do think we've managed to maintain that level. And I think the work we put out is still championship standard. But you're absolutely right, we're now relying on volunteers to produce that for us. But we've got a fantastic team at the football club. To be honest, we have invested a little bit there as well to try them something back, because it's not fair. The quality of the work that some of these guys are producing is, as I say, I think it's second to none outside of the Premier League. So, but you're right, it is. The biggest challenge, I guess, is clubs. I think probably 10 years ago, clubs had it all their own way, and they thought that, you know, it was just a case of shouting at supporters, telling them things, and that there wasn't a two-way channel. Whereas, of course, now you've got to be open to fans being able to talk back. I mean, I'm all for that. I think it's great, and that's one of the technology changes that I think have given the game a different dimension. And at our level, it's really useful. So yeah, it's something that we welcome. It's something we embrace. And you mentioned the YouTube channel. I mean, the hits on there have been colossal over the last few years. And I think that's down to quality.
Mm. And how difficult has it been? You say you've been on, you know, you've sort of maybe been at the sidelines, involved with the media for many years, but how difficult it's been to make that step from fan into the director's role? Because sometimes you have to bite your lip very hard, I find.
You do. And I think what's interesting about it is when things are going well, it's not an issue. When things are not going so well on the pitch, then people start to question whether a director should be involved in the media side of the football club, whether a director should be doing interviews with the manager. But again, it's probably a symptom of where we are at the moment, that we need volunteers in those positions. When we're back in the Football League, I will gladly step back and hopefully be involved in a recruitment process to take people on, to get staff involved and get us back to the level of staff that we had when we were in the Football League, and even in the conferences it was, because you know, we were quite well staffed then. But understandably, the people who were in charge at the time when the club was relegated to the National League North, I think probably quite rightly, decision that they needed to go part-time, and overnight there was that change was made. It's one of those things, it's easy to go in that direction. It's quite a lot harder to go back again and to put things back in place. But the ambition is still there to do that. And I know at the Fans Forum, it was something we were talking about just the other week.
Well, that's it, isn't it? You know, it doesn't matter what level you're playing at in the pyramid. You've got to have ambition. You've got to drive and have a 2 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year plan. Just to keep your football club alive. We'll talk to somebody from Merthyr later on in the show. And, you know, maybe 6 months ago, it looked like they were flying a community club that was everything was going great guns. And then 2 weeks ago, they've got no board, no players, and it looks like it's only the managers that are still left around. You know, it's things can change very quickly in football, but you need to have that plan in place, don't you?
You do, and what you need more than anything is stability is the absolute key. And I think you know, we're off the pitch, we're actually quite proud with the way we've managed to respond to the challenges of being a semi-professional part-time football club. We made a profit last season, a trading profit, And that's the first time in living memory, I think, that the club's made a profit. I mean, the club has always run at a loss and has always relied on wealthy benefactors to keep it afloat, as long as I can remember. So for the club to announce a trading profit, and certainly the first time we've done it in non-league football, was a significant milestone for us, really, given that we were coming from a point of losses of around 800,000 when I joined the board. That was 4 years ago I joined, and the financial future looked pretty bleak at the time. And it's a problem for us because, you know, we've got very little in the way of assets. We don't own our own ground, but significantly it is owned now by the local authority, so that's put us on a more stable footing. And there's a lot more interest in the club now in terms of investment, so I think that's a positive step forward that we've taken.
Well, it all sounds like it's going great guns off the field, and it sounds like things are improving on the field. So wish you well on Saturday, Stockport County against Southport in the third qualifying round of the FA Trophy, and wish you well for the rest of the season. Thanks for joining us, John.
Always good to talk to you. Thank you, Tim.
So cup competitions are often a way to reignite a club's season if the league stuff isn't quite going to plan. Our next guest is certainly hoping that that is going to be the case. After going back to his beloved Whitehawk 2 months ago, Steve King has yet to see his club notch a win in the league this season. So a home tie in the trophy against Chippenham Town may be just the thing they all need. Is that right, Steve?
It's a little bit more in-depth than that.
I knew it would be with you. You're a statistician as well.
I am. I've been here 7 games, and it's, you know, when I came through the door, they were used to losing all the time every week, bottom of the league by quite a long way. Then obviously, you know, cut the team over the next couple of games, realised that it needs to be big changes to change that. Obviously, I felt there was a number of certain ones on contract, but when I got here, I realised there was double the amount. So it's been difficult to move out and get in. You know, we're trying to do that, which is a process. It feels like I've been here a lot longer than the games I've had. But each week we're trying to improve it, get it better and better. It's definitely improved on the inside, although it's not showing on the results base. But after every time we play someone, it's like, oh, you're miles better than what you was, I can't see you going down, etc., etc. But obviously, that's nice of people to say that. But it's a big job, probably more than I realised at the time. Normally, when you take over a side, there's normally a number of players that, you know, you feel good enough to keep the side in position. But on this case, it was hardly anybody. To try and rebuild that in 7 games is, obviously, anyone would tell you, a near impossibility. Players that would used to come with me, no problem, are on contracts elsewhere. And you're sort of getting a player that's kind of got a story. You know, he's been on trial here, let go from a pro club there, not getting in a Conference National side, a little bit unfit. It's a real big job here.
Well, yeah, I mean, you mentioned the improvement. Certainly, the feedback that I've had from other people that have seen your side, that there's not really been much in the majority of your games. I mean, you certainly haven't been hammered in any games. It's been the odd goal, maybe a momentary lapse to concentration. And that's where, you know, someone like yourself can really get help with the mindset of the players and, you know, maybe make that difference.
Yeah, it has been like that. I know exactly where we're lacking that. We'll just change it like that, but which is up front, getting forwards in, the key to anything. Very difficult at the moment. I have got finances to do it, but getting that right one or two, that will make a huge difference to the side. They're very, very, very hard to come by. I've been trailing everywhere, home and abroad, everywhere you can imagine. Game after game after game, video after video, links, and you name it, I've been trying to get the forwards that will make a difference to the season. And we sort of, you sort of touched on there, like sort of saying the cup game on Saturday could be, you know, a springboard for you. But what you don't realise is when you come in, you're relying on loans. So where I've took 6 loans from higher levels, none of them will allow their players to play in the cup. So come the Chippenham game, we can't play the loan players.
So you signed on yourself then, Steve, have you?
Well, I was thinking about it. So that, you know, it's an even harder task now to realise that, you know, we're blood a few youngsters and things like that, but it's a situation that, you know, when you go into the bigger clubs to help your players, they won't allow them to be cup tied.
Mr. Anderson, a question from you.
Yeah, Mr. King, nice to speak to you.
I
don't need to tell you that, you know, I hope you and Jimmy pull the rabbit out of the hat. I think it is my duty to the listeners to say that it is becoming, you know, if I look at the league now, Kingy, I'm thinking, okay, championship form, 2 points a game doesn't even get you, probably gets you to 50 if you sort of go with that. And I hope you get that, and I hope that happens for you. But I know you probably won't even have thought about this, but there's going to come a stage in maybe 6 to 8 games' time, if it hasn't turned round, Steve, where you nearly have to write off the season to prepare for next season. Has that entered your head at all?
You look at sort of things, I think you look into January and you have a look and see where you are, and you know, the club will make a decision from that point whether we go cut our losses and go, you know what, we're built for next year, or they will stay with it until it's mathematically not possible. But we believe, and you've got to believe, there's 72 points to play for, that you get one or two wins and then the mindset's completely changed. Now, that would be all down to personnel. If I can get those two forwards in the next 3 or 4 games, then you've got that opportunity. It looks bleak. I'm not stupid. We've been around it a long, long time, and there's a lot of points to make up, but there's a lot of teams losing down there. It's not like people winning. There's a number of people on 3-4 as well, so that gives you hope. I think, but you've managed, Dave, and I think everybody, you'll keep going until the end, until it's mathematically not possible. And, you know, look at what happened to Havant last year. They got relegated, year before, got Lee Bradley, they got relegated. They stayed with Lee, he got them back up again in the first year, and they're in the top 3 now. You know, there will come a time where we think, right, we've got to cut our cloth accordingly if we're not going to make it. But I can't look at that yet. I have to look to January and think, if we get 2 or 3 wins between now and then, 4 wins, the whole picture completely can turn upside down.
Yeah, no, it does, King. And listen, you know, if I'm in your position, I'm absolutely the same. You have to be. Why would you take a job if you didn't feel that you were capable
exactly.
of it?
I knew what I was taking on. I signed a 3-year deal, so the club knew, you know, the longevity was there. It was good for both. And, you know me, Dave, I'm a workaholic. I was at a game yesterday,
absolutely.
the night before, Sunday, Saturday. You know, I haven't stopped to try and make it right. And I know we're not far away in that. We just need that little bit up top. If we can get that, I'm sure the fortunes will change. I don't think it'll be as many points as what you said to stay in the division this year. I think because there's so many teams like keep losing and beating each other down there, so and drawing and things like that.
Yeah.
So I don't think it'll be as many as that. It's a tough arc. So I knew that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I've
seen the team play, so I knew the difficulties in there. But, you know, sometimes you're hoping that there's 3 or 4 or 5 enough to then add some to it, and you can often run in. But we're starting from a blank canvas, basically. And, you know, after 13 games, 14 games, starting from a blank canvas is all your, like I said, your top sort of players that you're used to getting, you can't get.
Yeah, no, I think I understand that. I mean, the other one thing I was going to ask you about was obviously Jamie Lawrence. Listen, I know him very well, and you know him. But have you worked together before, Kingy?
We haven't worked together, but we've known each other a long, long, long time.
Yeah. How have you found that? How's that been? Because I've known Jamie a long time. I've never worked with him, but obviously know him and spoke to him lots of times. How's that been as a relationship? Tell us about that.
It's been really good. Jamie's really on the fitness side. We had Alex Dyer with us as well.
Yes.
And Alex Dyer, who's Chrissy Powell's assistant at Huddersfield and Charlton. We had him with us, and we lost him a couple of weeks ago to Kilmarnock. Steve Clark took him up there as his assistant manager. So that was a bit disappointing to lose him so soon after putting the team together. I brought a guy back in with me that used to work with me in the successful all other clubs I've been at. So he's in board with me and Jamie now. So we're all doing sort of different roles within what we're trying to put together, you know. Jamie's brilliant at the fitness side of stuff, and he coaches and does some sessions with players. So no, it's worked really well.
Good, and you haven't had to put a seatbelt in the dugout to keep him in there, have you? No.
No, to be fair, it's been quite chilled. Is the word.
Yeah, no. Listen, send him my regards, and you know.
I will, Dave.
I don't need to tell. Listen, the one thing I don't need to tell you is I wish you well. You know that. But I do think that at times like this, we have to ask you the question. You know.
100%. Yeah. I mean. Yeah. You know. Everyone can see it. I can see it.
Yeah.
All I can say is that the team, from what it was to what it is now, 7 games ago or 4 or 5 games ago, where we keep adding, is in a better place internally, I would say. Competing, just losing, than what it was. That's all you can do really at the moment. And hope with one or two forwards that I'm trying to get that could change our season, will definitely make us win games. We'll see if we've got enough at the end of the season, you know, 23 games to go, 24 games to go,
something like that.
So we'll see, Dave. Like I said, we won't be through the want of trying, you know.
That's for sure, mate. Yeah, I respect that.
Steve, we mentioned at the top of it, you know, you got Chippenham visiting you in the trophy this weekend, and then bizarrely next week you're off there in the league. But as you said, you've got a different set of players because you've got your low knees can play in that game next week. Do you think that's a benefit for you? Is it, you know, a psychological difference that whatever the result on Saturday, you go into this league game the following week, you know, with another set of cards maybe?
More important one, isn't it? We're never going to win the FA Trophy condition where we are now. Points are the most important thing, and it's given me sort of 2 weeks or 2 Saturdays, like from last week to next Saturday, to maybe get those 2 players in that I'm talking about. I'm very close to getting them, so that we could actually go to games. And I'm looking at a team, and you always look at your team, you're thinking, are we capable? We're capable, but have we got that strike force up top to go and win the game now? And I think that's the bit that's missing. And if we can, like I say, get that going into league games now, I would feel so much more secure that we're you know, it's game on, if you know what I mean.
Well, as Dave said, Steve, we wish you well. It's always good to talk to you, and you know, we'll be looking out and hoping that you start climbing back up that table. But best of luck in the trophy on Saturday, and speak to you all soon.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Cheers,
yeah,
Dave.
Good luck, mate. Yeah, cheers, pleasure, Kingy.
Dave, so are there any managers now listening to this, all waiting for that 7-day approach to come in from Whitehawk for their striker?
Yeah, yes, and I have to say this. Don't be thinking of your manager that's got a centre forward, no matter where you play or what part of the country it is, that Steve King won't know about him, because he is an encyclopedia.
Well, he did say he'd been looking internationally as well, hasn't he? So, you know, maybe there's a swerve ball coming in. You know,
but his knowledge of players is leaves you agog, you know, and I mean that. And to be fair, he gets that because, as he said, he, you know, sometimes you think there's 2 Steve Kings because every game you go to, he's there. There won't be anyone that works harder than Kingy doing that side of it. Jamie Lawrence, I've managed against Jamie when he was at Ashford, and passionate guy, fit lad, honest, you know, shut the door of the dressing room, he'll tell you what he thinks, and be a good combination. I'd like to see the 2 of them work together, because they are chalk and cheese to a degree, but I think that makes the best pairings. And I wish them well, because it's easy to go, no, I'm not coming on. It's easy to come on here when you're winning. Mm. You know, it's easy to come on when you've manager of the month. It's not easy to come on when, you know, we spoke to Kingy when he got the job, and he's been a regular on our show for many, many years, Tim. But he could easily go, I'm not coming on.
I'd left him alone, because, you know, you do feel sorry for him, because I've spoken to other people and they're saying he is making changes there.
Yes.
But just not getting those results. So, and I just thought, well, you know, I'll try him. And fair play to him. He's come on, and he's probably got more important things to worry about than us. But it shows his passion for non-league, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And I always think that a team will eventually go out and carry a little bit of the management team onto the pitch. And believe me, for different reasons and different personalities, but Jamie Lawrence and Steve King won't really give up on anything, you know. So eventually their team will have a bit of that in it. And that could be the turning point. And I'm not saying they'll get out of it, Tim, but they will give it as good a run as anybody you can, you know.
I'm sure in years to come, either the Steve King autobiography or maybe the Hollywood film Steve King, this may be a chapter this season that makes a big difference to it.
Well, put it, I guess, I hope the next time we get him on, it's because he's got them out of the bottom four, because that'll be a good interview.
Indeed. Well, we'll keep following that White Hawk and Steve King story. Now, success is a great thing, but while some clubs are riding on the crest of the wave, that inevitably leaves others struggling. Relegated out of the Football League at the end of a turmoiled season last term, Leyton Orient were hopeful of rebuilding under new ownership and a new manager in the form of Steve Davis as they began their non-league chapter. However, after a disappointing start to the season, the club parted company with Davis, and Director of Football Martin Ling joins us to tell how the hunt for a new recruit is going at Leyton Orient. Always sad to see a manager go, but it does seem, as far as these things can be, Steve has left on good terms, it was just time for a change, but very difficult when it's someone you know and someone that you brought into the club.
Yeah, difficult, but he fully understood it. 11 games and only 3 points in terms of return. He knows that it's a results-based industry, and he knew that his results wasn't good enough, and we did, you know, shake hands and remain friends, and we move on, and I'm sure Steve will move on.
So how are things going in you know, finding a replacement? What sort of credentials are you looking for? Has there been much interest?
No, yeah, there's been loads of interest. Up to 70 CVs have come in, if I'm honest. And we're looking for someone that's going to buy into the philosophy of the football club. That's the only remit that we put on it. There is bits of other stuff that you will look at, but the big thing is buying into the philosophy of what the owners are building, what I'm building, and what we're trying to become of as a club. But you know, the manager has got to go out on a Saturday afternoon with his players, stand on that sideline and get results, and that's, you know, it's an easy thing to say, it's a lot harder to do, but the philosophy of the club and how we want to build the club is important to us.
Dave, I think you've got a question.
Yeah, Martin. Big football club, you know, massive football club, and probably suffering a wee bit with that, because people who come to you now are looking at their fixture list to say, when have we got Orient, because they want to go and play there. So big football club, haven't got a great start, probably need someone who has got a T-shirt and a wardrobe, knows what he's doing, has looked after big football clubs, has all the experience. Martin Ling fits that bill.
Yeah, Martin Ling does fit that bill, but Martin Ling doesn't want to be a football manager, and that's very important for people to know. You know, Ross Embleton's doing it at the moment, and what I would say, I'm sitting there as upstairs as a consultant, because it's Ross's first ever venture into being the main man, but Martin Ling doesn't want to be number one. That is as plain as I can put it.
Martin, can I ask you why?
Yeah, you could ask me why. The reason why, I think the main reason, is the last two times I've done it, it's affected my health. And my health is more important to me than any football job. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, listen, you don't need to tell me. I know exactly how you feel about it. But with you sitting there, Martin, with you, and to be fair, be great for Ross as long as he's not intimidated by the fact that you're sitting above him, because he can go and bounce stuff off you. So with you sitting there, then the manager wouldn't have to be the most experienced guy, as long as you thought he was the right guy, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, look, the title for the manager is head coach, and I want it to be coming here to be the head coach. You know, Ross won't feel intimidated by me in any way, shape or form, because we've been friends for 20 years. So that wouldn't be the case with Ross Emmett, and I wouldn't certainly intimidate him. It may be difficult for some, and I explained to Steve from the start, because, you know, it's plain as your nose on your face that I've been the most successful manager that the club's had in the last 30, 40 years. But I said what I just said, that line that I'm not interested in being the manager, from the start, and nothing's changed on that score. I'm here to help in any way that I can, and if that's a manager that requires some help and some guidance and wants to use me as a sandboard, I'm very happy to do that. The job is, he is the head coach. He picks the team. He does everything for the team tactically. All I'm looking for is someone to buy into the philosophy. After that, I think in my role, my job's easier if you put good people in good positions, and we need to put a good person in that position, so my job becomes easy.
And what about, just the last one for me, Martin, because I'm always really intrigued as to how, and I'm sure you were before you became a director of football, as to how it works, because as a manager, so if I'm your manager and I want to sign a centre-forward from Harrogate, do I get the final say on whether I get him, or do you get the final say?
Yeah, that's always going to be the million-dollar question. We work on a basis of the there'll be three of us sitting in a room, which in when it was Steve, myself, and my chief scout, Steve Foster. We will say to Steve, what do you need, and what do you need as a player? He will give us what he needs. He may have two or three players that fit that bill. We might have two or three players that fit that bill, and then we come to a decision between us that is the right decision for the football club. And, you know, who's got the last say? It never comes down to that between me and Steve Davis, I can promise you that, because the be-all and end-all, that manager has got to want to pick that player on a Saturday. So I would not fetch anyone into the football club that the manager didn't want. So that's the big thing with it. It'd be what the manager wants. I might come up with a solution and say, well, this player's available as well. What do you think? And then we just talk through it and come up with a solution. There's no, I've got the big stick, so whatever I say goes. It's about a consortium or a valid viewpoint from everyone put in, and we put it into the mix and see what we come with at the end. But I can promise you there was never any difference of opinion between me and Steve, and there won't be any difference of opinion between me and the new manager.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that's the case, because as you say, you've been a successful manager yourself, and at least you can look through his eyes, if you know what I mean, when you're dealing with that stuff. But I've always wanted to know how that worked, you know.
Well, the thing is with it, I mean, it's a little bit different here. The reason the owners wanted to go with a director of football was that they're both based in America, so they want someone that they can trust in a position that's held high at the football club, that makes the decision from this side of the water. And because they're not here on a daily basis, myself and the new CEO will make them decisions. He's the CEO was obviously based on the commercial side and the running of the club, and mine is totally on the football side, from the 9-year-old that's in the club to the 38-year-old that's in the club. You know, that's the area I look at and make sure everything's running smoothly. So it's a little bit different as a director of football. There's a lot more involved because the owners don't live in this country.
Sure. No, and I appreciate your honesty with that, Martin. But sort of going back to the league, you know, the National League is something that we're probably more aware of than yourself, because you've always managed sort of higher than it. What have you found out about it? Has it surprised you, the standard of it?
Yeah, I mean, I did 18 months at Cambridge in the National League. But it ain't no different to what I found then. In fact, I think it's stronger than when I managed in it between 2009-2011. I think that it's a definite fifth division. There's only now three clubs that are not full time, and I think a lot of it is a mentality thing. On two things you picked up on: people coming to our place and us being the big fish in the pool. You've got to have players that can handle the pressure of expectation of home fans and big crowds at home. But you also have to have players that can handle going to the smaller clubs with not such good facilities and being able to perform. You know, simple little things like that. We've got three games you play on 3G or 4G Astro.
Yeah.
That's a different mentality that you have to take in. And it's a tough league. And it's a tough league because there's a lot of good teams in it trying to get out of it. But there is the mentality of the National League, I think, is massively important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. That's me finished, Tim. But I couldn't agree more with Martin. I think it is a little bit, I'd say, more difficult. But they are a big football club. People will be looking for the fixture, and then you've got to make sure the guys can. Well, roll their sleeves up when they turn out of somewhere that's came up the divisions as opposed to coming down them. And at the moment, it's tough. It's tough for them, you know. But good luck, Martin, and I say thanks for your honesty.
Thanks very much,
Martin. Just a couple from me. On the field, maybe not going quite to plan, but at least off the field, it sounds certainly. Far more stable than it was this time last season, and you more than anybody probably knows the potential of that community base that the club's got. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've had a good start for seven games, and we're second in the league, and everything was rose in the garden, and everyone was thinking we're going to bounce straight back, and I was trying to say, look, you know, it's a lot tougher than it's been so far, and that's what's been proved. But I think the biggest thing I can say, and the biggest compliment I can say to the fans is that. We played last Saturday and we're sitting, you know, I think we were sitting 18th then or 19th, and we still had 4,600 there. You know what I mean? So it's a big club. It's got big potential. I do believe it can play in League One comfortably because I've actually managed the team in League One and they've been there before and we're pretty stable in League One. But you've got to get that first bounce before the second bounce follows. And the first bounce, I think, is the hardest one to obtain because I think it's the hardest league. For all the reasons we've said, and only two teams coming up out of it makes it doubly hard.
Mm. So what's the timescales now for an appointment of the head coach?
The timescales is we're going through the process. I mean, the process is get the CVs in, which we've done. So the first couple of days, or two or three days, is about CVs coming in from all angles. You sort of leave that a little while just in case there's a few that are and you get a few surprised. Once you've got all the CVs, it's a case of reducing the CVs to possibly, you know, 10 genuine ones that you think can do the job, and then put them in an order and probably interview anything up to six candidates to see who the right person and the right fit is for the club. So. We're in second. I would say we're in phase two at the moment. We're reducing the CVs. It's now moving on to stage three of picking the top four, five, six, whatever that number is, interviewing and making sure we get the right person to take the club forward.
And you mentioned Ross, who's been acting head coach, and you know, he certainly seemed to have got the mindset of the players sorted out. You know, that 2-2 comeback against Chester midweek. Would he be in the offing for the job permanently?
Look, the thing I've always said to Ross is that I've been a friend of his for 20 years and feel like a bit like a father figure because when I met him, he was 15 and I was 35. But we were sort of starting our coaching careers together. But he is only 36. All I know, I can sleep well at night with knowing that Ross is in charge at this moment in time. Whether Ross wants to take the job or whether the job will be offered to Ross is dependent on results and if Ross really wants it. And the only way I think that I said to it, well, I have said to him, because as I say, he's a good pal, is that you've got to fill out, see how it feels for you doing it, and then see how results are. And if results are good and you feel comfortable doing it, then maybe consider it. But He doesn't know whether he wants it. All he knows is that he's taking it and taking control of it on a game-by-game basis, and he's done well in the two. We had two, what I would call, productive draws, i.e. we played Dover, top of the league, and that was a good point. And the second point was an excellent point because we went down 2-1 down with 10 men and come back in the second half and get a 2-2 and also look like we was going to win the game. He's had a good start, but it's totally different to being anything else at a football club. I've done the other jobs. I've been the youth coach. I've been the assistant manager. And I said, the biggest thing is you've got to learn is that you are the main man. It will go very quiet when you walk in the room. That's always a good one when you first start, because before you were part of that phantom and part of that thing. But when you walk into a room, everyone goes quiet and everyone, you know, goes thumbs up. And when that first happens, it's surprising to you. But because I've done it for 10 years and I started doing it, 15 years ago, you know that's happened. So I can give Ross all the pitfalls, but you've got to be able to accept the downsides of managing as well as the upside of managing. It's all good when it's rosy in the garden and results are going well. It's, are you going to be able to face the down times when they come? And the sure eggs are eggs, they will come.
Absolutely.
Who'd be involved in a football club, eh?
To be fair, he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. It's sorry to interrupt you, Martin, but it's like you certainly find out who your friends are when you're having a bad run, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's where you need to put good people around you. You know, what I tend to do when as a manager, I always brought a number two in that I trusted fully. I mean, Dean Smith, who's now the manager at Brentford for 5 years with me, and you know, I've had some good assistant managers along the way because you have a closer relationship with the assistant manager than you do with your own wife. So it's important that we put the right components in, and we put, you know, obviously I'm there as I'm only there to help as much as I possibly can. But you do need to put good people around you to be able to cope with the good times, and especially to cope with the bad times.
Well, it certainly sounds like you've got the philosophy now down, Martin. You just need to now down that full time position, and then move on. But we wish you luck for the rest of the season, and we'll stay in touch. And thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, good to talk to you too as well.
Dave, director of football position, eh? Whoa.
Yeah, do you know what? You know my opinion of directors of football, but when it's explained to me the way Martin's explained it, and it's, he'll know that there is a line that you can't cross because he's been the other side of the line. If you're a manager, it's always nice to have someone that's outside of your dressing room and outside of the political side of what's going on. And if he's someone that sits in the stand, with the experience that Martin Ling has, you'd be stupid not to go, what do you think? Mm. You know, what do you think? And but I think it's all about that line of where Martin can't undermine him. And I don't think for a minute he's going to, but simply because he carries the name he does, especially at Leighton Orient, then I think Martin would be very wary of that. But when you speak to him in an interview like that, you know, people with his experience are taught how to bat off questions and sort of swerve them if you want. But he certainly hasn't swerved anything we've asked him tonight. And that warms you to him. It warms me to him because I think, well, I feel like I could go in and work with you. No, listen, I don't want the job.
It's too late. He's already on phase two with the CVs.
Yeah, I'm delighted. No, but I think you understand what I'm saying is that you judge people when you talk to him. Could you work with him? And he comes across as if he would be a massive asset.
Well, he was certainly honest, wasn't he? And gave a very good reason for why he wouldn't want to be number one. And then it's some very valuable points on building that team around you, people you can trust. I mean, we've often spoken about you and Turner and the importance of that. So often you see a club bring in a manager and then maybe an assistant manager's got a bit of a reputation as well that just sort of bolster them up. But they might. We did speak to Jason Goodliffe last week at Woking, where actually it has worked, where two guys that don't know each other have gelled and it's working together. But it's nicer to have your friends around, isn't it, when you're in. When the results aren't going well.
It is. But the other thing is, you can make friends, as Jason and Anthony found out. But I I'm just thinking that, listening to Martin Ling, maybe I should be a director of football. Maybe that's the job for me, you know.
Offers a position at non-league show on Twitter, and we'll see where we can get that.
But that was. It'll be interesting who gets it, Tim, because it is a. You know, we said Merthyr Town are a big football club. Listen, Leighton Orient is as big as it gets at our level. You know, so you know, I wish them well. You know, I really do.
One of those bits of news from the week were FC United going for Tom Greaves, who's been their caretaker manager, and making him the permanent manager there. And we discussed about FC United, you know, maybe needing a big name or a big experience to take them to that next level. And I think, I'll never follow one of Swampy's tips again, because he said that Tom had been doing fantastically well but wouldn't get the job. But yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that shows you what supporters know about football, doesn't it? Before anybody gets on my case, I'm only joking with Swampy. I always give him some stick, you know. But rightly so, that although Swampy is around the football club and so obviously has his ear to the ground, Swampy shouldn't know who the next manager is going to be, because he's not in them circles. And I think it's nearly a positive to FC United that Swampy didn't know who it was, because I think them decisions have to be made by the people that are employed to make them, and the rumour mill's massive, and especially the big football club like FC United. I think they deserve a pat on the back for, you know, if he doesn't know, then listen, if Swampy didn't know, believe me, no one outside of the dressing room knew.
So Leighton Orient looking for a new manager, but for one club, the management is perhaps the only constant they have left. After the revelation of a large financial crisis, unpaid tax bills and various off-the-field issues, Merthyr Town went into last weekend's Southern League Premier game at Chesham United, having seen the majority of their board walk out, unpaid players leave, and the management team with Gavin Williams and Dean Clark left to put together a makeshift side to fulfil the fixture. And Dean is on the line to tell us more. A stressful couple of weeks then, Dean.
Obviously come out of the blue. The club has done what they can to try and get themselves out of the hole that was created by whoever, but it's all come to a good light because of the publicity we're getting, really, and things look like they're going in the right direction, hopefully.
Now, you got a side out to face Chesham, but as probably could have expected, it was tough. You know, I think you had a lot of youngsters in the side, limited preparation. It didn't go too well, did it?
Well, no, that's right. It was short notice. We didn't find out, really, off the board, and the players found out at the same time until about, the players found out the Thursday night, and we more or less at Wednesday night, Thursday morning. So it was a case of, the players we had on board, we didn't have the money to pay them that week. So it was a case of either not fulfilling the fixture or we would go down there. Well, it wasn't even with the 18s. It was a mixture of 15, 16s and 18s. So, and it's hard at that level. So it's a competitive standard. So they did great, the boys, but they're just not quite ready for it yet.
Yeah, and ended up 13-1. Now, how do you pick the guys up from something like that? And
well, to be honest, normal Southern League players, it would have been obviously very tough, but because these were young lads and the reception they got after, believe it or not, anyone at the game, if they saw it, the goal we scored, which was a great finish, that it was celebrated like a winning goal. So, like, the Chesham fans were great, our fans were great, and I think all the young lads, they got a standing ovation when they came in, into the tunnel after, into the changing room. So, in a way, it was, I've never seen anything like it. You lose 13-1 and his reaction like that. So I don't think they'll be too affected.
Yep. Dave, I think you've got a question.
Yeah, Dean, I have a couple of questions, really, as an ex-manager myself. The first one is, I suppose, the obvious one. Why didn't you and Gavin walk?
I think at times like this, I've been at the club, well, this is maybe my third time now, obviously as a player before, but you get the affection, don't you? So it's I suppose it's the love of the club. Obviously, we just said to each other, let's give it some time. Let's see what we can. Can we get a competitive squad together to compete? We just thought it wasn't the time to jump there, really, because I just think it needs a bit of stability and someone just trying to point it in the right direction, because the people off the field, like the fans, they're doing their bit, they're fundraising, so it just seemed the right thing to do, really. I'd like to add to that as well, we've got obviously a first team coach as well, which is Ashley Thomas, and obviously he stayed with us as well, so we're grateful for that.
Yeah, no, and I think listen, I'm not saying I would walk. I would need to know the ins and outs of it. But you know, it'd be the obvious question to people. Now, part two of that is, as much as the kids have gone out and it'll be an experience for them that they'll learn from, because you learn from every experience. But, you know, you can't put aside like at a week in, week out till the end of the season. You're in a situation where there's no panic at the moment. So you literally got to go out and yourself 6 to 10 players now and try and do Christmas.
Myself and Gav, or mainly Gav, because he's nearer Merthyr than I am, but we spoke to so many players in the last 2 weeks and different circumstances and different situations. So at the moment, players don't seem to want to come, as in like, you wouldn't really, all the bad press coming out. But we might be with the younger side again this Saturday. But we got little things in place. I don't like to put it in, but we've had a lot of support of the Welsh non-league side, and I know Danny Gabardon has been very good with his donations, and I know Gav is trying to persuade him to maybe dust his boots off and come and have a game. So I just hopefully he might trigger a couple more to come. So, but like, we're just trying to get everyone, well, the fans are trying to get everyone at the park. This week we got Dorchester at home, so they're trying to pack the park and see where we go from there, really.
Yeah, and reality would tell you that you will need to have some money put in place at the level you're at. You will need some money in place quickly, because, you know, you can call in as many favours as you want, and I'm sure you're doing that. But the bottom line is there will need to be money for players who come in. What have you had any assurances of the club about that?
Well, we're running on a reduced budget, a very reduced budget. So obviously we've got a little bit for a few players, but obviously, as you know, you can't just give a couple some and some not. It's not fair, and all the boys deserve something if they're playing. So they're giving their time as much as anything. So, but what we said as a management, we're going to try and see it through, and then maybe all the publicity and all the donations, maybe it can help the club, and maybe there'll be improvements in place. We haven't been given any assurances, because to be fair, I don't think you can. You never see around the corner, but we'll just take it as we find it, week by week, and just see if things improve. But like I said, the reaction from people from last Saturday's result, and all the publicity and all the fans, not just non-league, football league as well, has been great. And it's not just been from local areas, it's been from all over. So it's very, very touching.
Yeah, and sorry, Tim, I just wanted to wish you good luck with it, Dean, because I think you're in a real predicament, and I've utmost respect for you, Gavin, and the coach for sticking around, because it is a club with great tradition and has a great name, the town, you know, for non-league year after year. So I wish you well, but I think you have a real difficult job on your hands.
Yeah, okay, so I appreciate that. And like you said, everything... Like, I don't know if anyone knows, like, we play on a 3G and the stadium's quite new now, so it's just all the infrastructure's in place. And like you said, it is a traditional old club, and with a lot of decent fans about it. So we're gonna try our best, and we'll hang in now to see what we can come up with and see if we can compete.
Well, that's it, Dean. I mean, you mentioned the stadium there and the setup. You're a community-run fan club. You're mid-table, you know, in the division there. Do we know what went wrong, or you know, hasn't there been time to have a look at that? And
like I said, there's all the different stories and different rumours. Like I said, I'm in contact with Gavin all the time because I'm based about an hour away. So Gavin actually lives in Merthyr. So I haven't got to them. There was a big meeting for the fans on Monday night and then for the club on Tuesday. So I haven't quite got the ins and outs of that.
Yeah.
But
my understanding, I think the, you know, some potential new board members have stepped forward, which is always great. You know, volunteers in a time of crisis is a fantastic thing.
Yes, I
guess it's you need to address whatever the problem was that got you to this stage. That needs to be addressed first, and then you can build forward. As a coaching staff, you just then focus on the football and hope that somebody else is going to deal with that.
Yeah. Well, that's all we can do, like, because we're obviously part-time, and like I said, I'm an hour away, so we can only try and concentrate on what goes on the field. There are good people stepping up now, which were in place before, but obviously, due to the other regime, they didn't get on with people, so let's hope it just goes in the right direction, because there's some good people trying to lead it now.
Yeah, and you mentioned the support from non-league world, and you know I've seen donations from clubs like Hereford's. I know former non-leaguers, Newport County had a bucket collection, didn't they, for you this week? I know my own club, Hazen Yedding, donating next week's 50-50 profits. Is that sort of even more of an inspiration for you to keep going, because you know that you know the whole of football appears to be behind you?
Well, it is, yeah. But obviously, if you look at it the other way, if me and Gavin and Ashley would have walked, then what sort of signals does that send out the players you're trying to ask to stay, sort of thing. So like I said, we'll have a go. We'll see what we can get out. Saturday, the boys are training tonight. Obviously, we've got, I think, we're working and things like that. I think we've got about 9 or 10 training tonight. So again, we'll be doing all we can tomorrow to get a few more. Gavin has signed on. I've had to sign on now. My international clearance has come through, but hopefully I'm not wanted. So we just go again and see what Saturday brings.
So that's Saturday, the Pack the Park campaign, if you want to have a look at the Merthyr Town website, there's plenty of ways that you can make donations, campaigns going on, but the idea is on Saturday, Pack the Park, to get as many people down for their home game against Dorchester Town in the league on Saturday. Thank you very much for your time, Dean. You know, much respect to you, Gav, and all those that have snuck around, and wish you the best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Dave, it's a hard one, isn't it? As you say, you'd want to be addressed of the full situation, so you could make that decision as to whether you stay or go. But you know, as Dean's saying, I remember last year when we had Omar Rizza on from Orient after they'd been relegated, and you know, he was trying to pull everybody together, organise pre-season. He was doing everything right, as much as he could give, and he didn't get the job.
Yeah, there's always that side of it. I mean, listen, Dean and Gav might well know what's going on behind the scenes, and they might want it kept within their football club. I understand that. I have no problem. I don't think you should wash your dirty linen in public, you know, at times like this. But I do, if I was in their position, I would be going to the people in charge and saying, what's happening? You know, if you want me around, you need to be put your cards on the table, tell me where we are with it, and be honest and upfront, and then I'll make my decision out of that. But any sort of skullduggery or anything that's behind my back, I'm out of here, because it's you know. But I think listening to Dean, they have a deep affection for the football club, and to be fair, Merthyr are lucky to have that with them, you know. It's a tragedy, isn't it? It's a tragic story at the minute. And we just hope that some way they can turn it around. Tim, they've got 6 games. if something's not sorted out in six games, you start to get in the habit of sort of losing games. It becomes harder to attract players. He said it's hard, difficult at the moment because of the publicity that's going around. You lose six in a row and get yourself in and around the bottom three or four, and it becomes twice as hard again. So they have a massive task ahead of them. The whole club, I don't just mean Dean and Gavin, I mean the whole football club, for the sake of a team that's very, very well known, mate, you know?
Well, yeah, and Dean made reference to it there. I remember chatting to some of the guys from Merthyr, I think a couple of seasons ago, and they're still affected by this international clearance then, because they're technically covered by the Welsh FA. So if they want to sign somebody from that's been playing in the English leagues, including the league that they're playing in at the moment, they have to get international clearance from the Welsh FA. So there's no, it's a bit more difficult for them to make a last minute signing because there's other bits of forms that have to be organised, and so it's just so complicated, isn't it? It's, you know, as a manager, you think, oh, bring him in, but then, you know, he might not be available for Saturday, and then actually he might not be the person you want Saturday because you're clambering around and clutching at straws, really, aren't they?
Yeah, you are, and this is something we've covered before, international clearance, to play in the same league as... I was stung by it, as you know, at AFC Wimbledon, where I talked Jermaine Darlington out of retirement to play for me, and his last club was Cardiff City, and the secretary at the time didn't realise there was international clearance needed, and we went down that. We were docked 18 points, and I've got the video of Tony Blair talking about in the House of Parliament. It was all that stuff. So I'm well aware of the issues about it. But, you know, before then and since then and even today, it's ludicrous that a team that plays in the same division should need international clearance. And realistically, you know, from hand on heart, the FAs have got to come together and go, OK, we will waiver that because you're in the same division. Or they shouldn't be allowed to play in English football. You know, it's just such a ridiculous rule, Tim. You know, it just does. Is there anywhere else in the world that this happens? Is there a Scottish side that plays in the English league?
Well, I know it's certainly been a discussion on various message forums that, you know, since this Merthyr story broke, maybe playing in the English pyramid is part of their problem, mate. You know, Merthyr's quite a way into Wales once you've crossed the border. So, you know, there's a lot of travelling. And again, that's going to be a difficulty when you're trying to attract players. It's not like, you and I, where you're trying to attract people to go around the M25 on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
On Tuesday night, Chester went to Leighton Orient. There were some issues on the road on the way back. Their 5-hour journey became a 10-hour journey, and you could quite easily see that happen for, you know, players getting back from a game in London on Tuesday night, trying to get back to Wales, couldn't you?
Yeah, and we've all done it. You've done it yourself. I've done it. Where I remember going to Lowestoft on a Tuesday night and getting home, leaving Harrow at 2 p.m., getting back at 2 a.m., and being up for work at 6. You know, and it's. You know, it's part of what we do as semi-professional footballers and managers. But I just think that when you're in a league, you just want to have a fair crack and you want to have the same deal as everyone else has. And I just feel that the Welsh sides don't get that. I think they have a lesser chance simply because they can't sign anyone. We get 7 days' notice, can sign them. They've got to then get international clearance, which I'm guessing is a minimum 2 to 3 weeks. And I just think that's unfair, you know. So they should sit down and work out a rule for Welsh clubs who play in English football.
Maybe all this Brexit will change things. Who knows, Dave? Who knows?
Yeah. Let's not go there.
I mean, I wish all the boys well. You know, I'll certainly stay in contact with Dean and Gav and see how things are going. But
big club as well, Tim. It's a big football club with a big history.
I don't know whether, you know, I've been there with Hayes and Yedding, you know, when there were literally a few of us trying to keep the club afloat, and then something would jump out of the woodwork that you weren't aware of, and that's the difficulty that these new board members are going to have. They're going to say, yeah, I'm happy, I'll step forward, I'll put the hours in, and then you suddenly open another filing cabinet, and a whole flock of bills or things come out of you, and I love their commitment, and from the people that are involved and the fans, but they've got this massive fan swell. They are at the heart of the community in the town as well, and I don't know whether that might actually be an added pressure, because there's lots of people. I spoke earlier about Stockport, and they've got this a fantastic fan base that are used to playing at a much higher level than they are at the moment. And it's that expectation level, that although they know where they're playing, or, if Merthyr managed to survive but get relegated at the end of the season, what's that going to do to their fan base? What's that going to do to momentum, trying to get players in, trying to get the fans in week in, week out? It could be a downward spiral. I hope not. And, we'll hopefully there'll be some good news around the corner, and we'll keep on top of the story. But
they need something to happen in the next 6 weeks. You know, they need to turn it round, come up with, I don't know, pull a rabbit out of a hat. Because once you go beyond 6 weeks of this, then it's dead men walking, really. It's a real, real difficult task. It's difficult enough at the moment, but what they've got to play with now is some points, because they're mid-table. But then points will disappear quickly if they... You can only get beat 13-1 so many times, believe me.
Yeah, 26 points on the table at the moment for them, but it's far short of that magic 50-point mark, isn't it? So we'll keep an eye on that one and come back to it.
Yep. Good luck to them, though. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Good luck to them all.
Well, that's it for this week, even without Swampy, we've overrun, Dave. So thank you for your time. Thanks to all our guests, and, of course, for everybody for listening. Don't forget, you can find us throughout the season on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. And if you want to put the podcast on your website, check out www.nonleaguefootballshow.com to grab an embeddable player. Thanks for listening again, and goodbye.
Jibber Jabber Production. J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A.